You must be very excited to come in and listen to the president. What are you expecting tonight?
I really wasn't expecting anything, so I have no comments to make.
How do you feel about a chance to sit and listen to the president in this
monarch? I think it's a good opportunity for anybody to sit in on any public official. That part is exciting.
Are you here as much to see the president as to help the mayor?
Well, I'm from the suburbs, so I don't think I'll help the mayor very much.
So you really just wanted to see the president?
Right.
How about you? Are you excited? What do you think, what do you expect to get from this? I mean, you paid a lot of money to come in and see the president. Are you waiting for an experience of your lifetime?
Well, not exactly experience, but I think his comments will be the same as he's been giving all the time. Maybe a little more encouragement for Mayor Byrne, because it is a backup party for her. So that's it. And where I'm from, the suburbs also, so it really wouldn't affect me in any way.
Are you coming here to show your support for the president then?
More or less.
Curious more than anything else?
Curious. Yes, thank you.
It's an expensive. I wonder what you're expecting tonight.
What am I expecting?
you get a chance not very many people get to, is to sit and listen to the words of the president. What are you expecting?
I really don't know.
Are you here to see the president or to support the mayor? There's been a mixed reaction to that.
Oh, I don't know. I'm supporting the mayor.
And whatever.
Yeah, and whatever her choice, right.
For endorsement, you mean?
Yeah.
Tell me, what are you looking forward to tonight?
To hearing the president.
Did you come here to support the mayor or the president?
Both of them.
What does this tell you with the president here to see the mayor? Does that make you feel better about the mayor?
Yes.
In what way?
Well, she seems to have a clout to be able to get him here. I hope we're not on the air now.
Oh, yeah. That's what this is for. We're not live.
For what station? Very well.
That makes you feel better about the mayor. You have more confidence in the mayor?
Yes. That's why I'm here tonight.
What do you think the president will have to say tonight?
Oh, I think he's going to come out with some shockers that we haven't heard lately.
And what about the mayor? Do you think she's got any words?
She's going to have a little bit to say, too.
Do you feel like you're here in one of maybe Chicago's most important events? What do you feel you're participating
in? Oh, yes, this is the most, outside of the Pope. Yes, this would run second.
How do you feel about being a part of it? Are you excited to see the president?
Yeah, this is a family table.
You got your whole family coming in here?
Mm-hmm.
Would you have been here to support the mayor if the president wasn't here?
Oh, sure. I have been at different functions of hers.
This is an added attraction for
you. That's right.
What's your name, ma'am?
Do you know? Marie Rush.
I'm sorry?
Marie Rush.
Marie, you live in the city?
Yes.
A lot of these people are from the... Large survey. How do you feel about what's coming up tonight? Are you excited?
I'm excited, yes.
More to support the president or more to support the mayor?
The mayor's I'm truly interested in, yeah. More than the president.
You would be here if the president wasn't then?
Yes, of course.
What does it tell you to have the president a part of Mayor Byrne's fundraiser?
I kind of feel that she's going to support him.
You think so?
I think she will, yes.
Do you think she'll do that tonight?
She may, yes. I think so.
Are you anxious to hear who she's supporting? Are you impatient?
Kind of, yes. I'm very concerned, yes.
We want to know.
Yes.
We wonder if it's just that. How do you feel before the event? Are you excited to see the president?
Not really.
No?
I want to see the mayor.
You say you're here then more to support the mayor than to see the president?
Yes.
You'd be here even if the president wasn't?
Probably.
A lot of people here are expecting the mayor to have a big announcement about her endorsement. Do you think that's going to come out tonight? Is that part of why you're here?
I really hadn't thought about it.
Does it matter to you if the mayor comes out?
No, because I'm from Indiana.
How about you? Are you also
Well, I'm from Bridgeview, and I'm anxious to see both the mayor and the president. I've never seen a president, so this would be a great treat for me.
Do you are you impatient to hear what the mayor has to say about her endorsement?
Yes, I would very much like to hear what she has to say. Yes.
Does it matter to you if she puts it off a few months, or are you hoping that'll come out tonight?
I would hope it'd come out tonight.
Why?
Well, I'm just anxious to know who's going to be our next, head of the police department, commissioner of police. I think it's important with our crime rate the way it is.
What about her endorsement or non-endorsement of the president? Are you impatient for that news?
Not really. No, I think that can wait.
All right. Thank you.
Enjoy
your day. The president and the mayor are going to be here together tonight. Are you excited?
Yes, very much.
Are you here more to see the president or to support the mayor?
To see the president.
Do you think the mayor's going to have words for us about her support of the president tonight?
Well, it would be a good time, I think, due to the fact that the president being in town, and I think that's one of the reasons that he is here, trying to get her support.
Does it matter to you how quickly she comes out with her endorsement?
I think so. I think especially a lot of people form opinions early, and they kind of stick with them, and I think that if someone in Jane's position, especially being a woman, if she supports President Carter, well, it might influence me to a certain degree.
What does it tell you to see the president here with her first big fundraiser?
That he wants her support, and that she is, I think, kind of favors him too. I mean, she said that as much already.
Does it change your opinion of the mayor to see that she can bring the president to Chicago?
I knew she could. I'm for Jane.
I'm really concerned about that.
What are you going to ask him?
I really haven't. I mean, I've got it on my mind, but I've written it down. I feel that he has to be more exact in what he wants to do about inflation. But see, I don't think that the town meeting is going to be to satisfy us, as the questions that he's going to get asked are like questions that he has in mind, and if someone asks this question, then he's going to be asked, I don't know if you understand what I mean, he's not going to be asked anything that will cause any controversy. It will just be something that will show him in a good light.
You expect this to be staged, more or less?
In a way, and I think that inflation is one of the thorns in his side. And I don't know, but that's what I want to talk to him about, really. If I'm going to ask a question, I'm going to ask him what he intends to do. That when I go and pay $1.80 for a pound of butter, it kind of hurts. And I haven't, when I, $1.80 means that it's tripled in price, and I myself have not gotten a triple raise in pay to meet these costs. And this is why I feel that that's one of the main issues in the election.
Do you think the president will have a solid answer for you? Do you think you're going to make him think about it as he goes home?
Well, I think the main thing I want to do is make him think about it. What, you know, what we have on our mind. This is what he, I think, all right, I will say that one of the reasons he is coming out is because he wants to find out what people are thinking and what is bothering them. And maybe that way I might get my idea across on what's on my mind, what's bothering me, and maybe he might try to do something about it this way, since he's found out. Not that he's going to ask me that question at the meeting, because I don't think anyone has an answer for it now. Really, it's a sad situation.
All right.
Occasion, so we ask your indulgence during the introduction of the members of the dais. Introducing each member of the dais will be the Honorable Alderman Edward Verdoliak. Mr. Verdoliak.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and it's my honor and privilege to introduce our guests, our honored guests at the dais, John C. Marson, the alderman of the 35th Ward. Thank you.
rights would interfere.
Marshall Korshak has suggested that we give the Delta Queen to Israel so they can start a navy. Mr. President, you see here this evening the leadership of Chicago. They're Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. They form a unique partnership of business, labor, and government that makes Chicago the best place in the world to live, to work, and to raise your family. You have their respect, their friendship, and their understanding. They thank you for all of you have done to make Chicago a better city, and they hope that you and Mrs. Carter come back to see us again and again in the years to come. Chicago has the strongest Democratic Party in the nation. We have a strong party in Cook County because we've always had enlightened and outstanding leadership. That tradition has been continued by electing the chairman of our party, an outstanding public official who was a great leader in the General Assembly, an outstanding president of Board of Commissioners of Cook County, our chairman, the Honorable George Dunn.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Mike. Members of the clergy, President and Mrs. Carter, Mayor Byrne, Jay, Kathy, isn't she beautiful? The Burke family, you know, a lot of credit is being given to people for the great presentation that's taking place here tonight. And I just have to acknowledge the achievements that was made primarily by one man, Edward Burke. Ed, would you stand up and take a bow? Where is that? Where is he? There he is. As the chairman of the party, and on behalf of the members of the Central Committee, and hopefully all Democrats everywhere throughout the county, I would like to say that we're happy to join with the many friends of Jane Byrne in paying tribute, justifiably so, to her on this occasion. There have been many dinners, political dinners, that have been conducted throughout this country, and many of the largest have been held here in Cook County. Never have I seen such a spectacular dinner before in my life. I don't wish to date myself, but I can recall a great showman by the name of Barnett Hodes. He was the man who put on the spectaculars in days gone by. And then there was Colonel Riley. And I guess Ed Burke is going to have to take his place in the line of all of these great entrepreneurs of presentations of political spectaculars. And I think, Mayor Burns, it is indeed fitting because of the kind of a job that you have done, not only for the political party and the effort to keep us united and strong, but also for what you are doing for the great city of Chicago. Thank you.
I want to say on behalf of my friend Ed Burke that he's much better looking than either Hodes or Colonel Riley. We have gathered together here this evening to pay tribute to the mayor of the city of Chicago in the largest dinner that's ever been held in the city of Chicago. It's certainly the largest dinner that ever been given in the history of the world for a woman. In fact, it's my opinion that it's the largest dinner since biblical times when the Savior took a few loaves and a few fishes to feed the multitude. I've done some research on the mayors of Chicago. I find out that the average mayor is a man, 5'11", 180 pounds, a Democrat, a good politician, a good administrator, and they all live by our motto, I will. That was true until 1979. Now the mayor of Chicago is a woman, 5'3", 98 pounds, a dedicated Democrat, a very astute politician, a good administrator, and our motto now is, we better. In less than a year, she has demonstrated that she has the capacity, the talent, the brains, the political know-how, and the good old-fashioned American guts to be a great mayor for all the people of Chicago, Mayor Jane Byrne.
Thanks. Thank you all very, very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Would you all like to sit down now, please? Thank you. I would like to thank my brother for being the chairman of this and for having been one person that was very loyal and worked very hard in the primary and worked very hard since. With George Dunn, a great Democratic chairman, and a man that I want you to know. Has gone overboard in advice to me, in counsel to me, and in giving me great support in working out the problems that faced any city after the change last February. George Dunn worked very hard, and as the chairman of the Democratic Party, I'm also very pleased to say I consider him my committeeman. I live in his ward, but also my friend. So many people on the dais have helped me so very much with this dinner that I really cannot single everybody out. I would, however, appreciate it if I could introduce to all of you my father, Daddy. And to all of you who have filled the room, upstairs and downstairs, a very sincere and a very humble thank you. I have long had a special empathy for the man, our honored guest, and his wife who came here tonight. 4 years ago, or a little bit longer than that, he started on a lonely trail with only a small band of close friends as his political nucleus. And he went on to bring a new kind of politics to the American scene, politics of honesty, decency, and forthrightness that captured the hearts of the nation's electorate. On the local scene, I myself traveled that same lonely trail. And so I know some of the feelings and the emotions that he and Rosalind must have felt during the ordeal. And it always is an ordeal. That's why I take particular pleasure here tonight in demonstrating to our guest that he is no longer on a lonely trail. I can announce to him and to all of you what has already been stated tonight, that this is the largest political dinner ever given in the history of the city of Chicago. And again, I want to thank each and every one of you, all of you here tonight, upstairs and down, for your support, your generosity, and your vote of confidence in my own new city administration, as well as the national administration of our honored guest. It is deeply gratifying to be here with so many loyal and good friends. The man who took that long, lonely trail is here tonight, embarking on a new political journey at midpoint in his national political mission. And we are delighted to have him and his wife share these precious, historic moments with all of us. We can look back on the last 4 years in Washington with a good deal of pride as Democrats in this current administration. No matter what political persuasion we are, however, as guests, and there are people here, Democrats and Republicans, no matter what party affiliation, there is that pride. Our honored guest here tonight can take great pride, as we do, in the fact that for the first time in many years, the Washington scene has witnessed almost 4 years, 4 long years, go by without a major scandal in federal government. We've seen integrity and pride restored to the national scene. I have been reminded in the last year or so by the number of young people who helped in my own campaign of another major achievement that our honored guest can boast of, and no mother or father should ever forget it in the coming electoral election campaign, and that is that our honored guest is the first American chief executive under whom no American boy has died in combat on foreign soil. I think that under the present national leadership, we can look forward to that merciful respite for another 4 years. And perhaps through SALT II, the groundwork will be laid for peace for generations to come. It has also occurred to me what a luxury has been provided us by the current administration, that we are so free of foreign entanglements and international crises that we can at last and finally concentrate on domestic problems that have cried out for years for attention. We know that many of these problems, inflation for one, have been many years in the making, the product of unwise fiscal policies of previous national administrations of both parties. Another, the energy crisis and the oil and fuel shortages that have recently plagued us. These are problems that will not disappear with superficial cosmetic treatment. They cannot be solved in the short run. We have hard choices to make, and none of our options are painless. But what really matters is that our honored guest here tonight has faced these problems with fortitude and resolve. He has proposed solutions and the beginnings of solutions, and he is fighting to translate their solutions into programs. I hope that Congress, for the good of all of us, will cooperate and sometimes be a little bit more willing to put through some of these programs. But most of all, I can point tonight with great pride and satisfaction to the way that this national leader, who is here among us tonight, a proven populist from the rural southern state, has emerged as a great president to the nation's big cities. And very happily, I can add Chicago to the roster of those he has befriended in an hour of need. Of course, it didn't hurt anyone. I sent Jimmy a message at the U.S. Conference of Mayors last spring. But the fact is The president listened. He responded, and Chicago is receiving the substantial aid that it desperately needs. And we have been assured of a continuing friendly and beneficial relationship with the current administration. As Chicago and other older urban centers strive to meet the challenges of the 80s. I can cite offhand a few recent federal contributions to Chicago made just since I took office 6 months ago. $100 million in public housing grants, enabling Chicago to resume planning for a public housing program. $127 million in community development funds. $27 million for something we all remember, snow removal. Four, reallocation of $2.6 billion for the huge transportation program we have of the older cities. We are on the eve of another great electoral decision in the nation. To be partisan a moment in the midst of so many Republican and nonpartisan friends, I am a Democrat, interested in my party's future, interested in the welfare of America, as well as Chicago. And I cannot pass up the opportunity to admonish those who would divide the Democratic Party in the national elections that they might reap the wild political wind. I do not think we can afford a national inter-party bloodbath at this crucial time. The times call for unity and discipline. It will be at our peril to flout the national political tradition that an incumbent deserves a second term. Upon reasonable performance and dedication to the national welfare, it would indeed be presumptuous and premature for me tonight to say that I believe the Democratic Party ought to renominate our present leader for another 4-year term. It would be because I am not the chairman of the party. I am, however, a member of the Democratic National Committee. I am not a member of the Cook County Democratic Organization, the endorsing body of our party in Cook County. I hold no local party office. But as mayor of the great city of Chicago, the mid-America of the 80s, I tell you that I will be a delegate to the Democratic National Convention in New York. And I tell you something else, and I hope you're listening. If that convention were tonight, I would vote in our party caucus without hesitancy to renominate the present leader for another 4 years. And if he is again our party's standard bearer, I will campaign for him, the skyscrapers of Chicago, to the people in our great neighborhoods, and across the green fields and small town in Illinois. On that note, I am proud to present to all of you the Honorable Jimmy Carter, President of the United States. President Carter.
Thank you very much. My good friend, Mayor Jane Byrne, Chairman Dunn, Michael Howlett, state officials, members of Congress, distinguished leaders of Chicago and Cook County, both Democratic and those who have not yet been converted to our party, and especially more than 12,000 of Jane Byrne's closest friends. I know where to come the next time I want a quiet, restful evening to spend alone. Just a few minutes ago, I went down and spoke to 5,000 or 6,000 people, and I was on the way back to my hotel when Jane said, "Wait, you haven't seen anything yet." And this is an absolutely unbelievable sight. I'm proud to be here. In the last few years, this is my third visit to this great city on an occasion when the mayor of Chicago was honored. A president has many interesting and exciting experiences, but I don't believe any more interesting or exciting than to be here tonight. I've been doing a lot of different things lately. When I was at Sunday school yesterday morning, one of my friends said, "Mr. President, I know what you've been doing the last week or so. What are you going to do next?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to Kansas City tomorrow morning to speak to the National Conference of Catholic Charities. And then tomorrow night, I'm going to Chicago to a large testimonial dinner to Mayor Jane Byrne." And they looked at me for a while and said, "You've been spending an awful lot of time with Catholics lately." And another Baptist friend standing nearby said, "Well, it hadn't hurt you at all. Keep it up." I am glad to be with you, members of all political parties, members of all faiths. I speak to you tonight as president of the greatest nation on earth. And I also speak to you as a friend of your mayor. I also speak to you as a Democrat. This enormous attendance is proof indeed of the enthusiasm and the dedication and the unity and the commitment and the confidence of people who live in Chicago. And it's also proof of the tremendous leadership of your mayor, Jane Byrne. You've made a wise choice, and I'm proud of it. We are here to honor the mayor, to provide her with the support and the help she needs in a very difficult job, and to recognize the fine performance which she has already exhibited to the rest of the nation in the short time she's held this exalted office. I want to thank you for this support for her personally and to encourage you to keep it up. The lifeblood of politics and effective government is good and loyal people, ready to work, ready to contribute, talent, ability, and care for one another. Your mayor is depending on you, and your president is depending on you also. God must have loved Democrats because he made so many of us. However, he always leaves us short of money. Our opponents can almost always outspend us. Since we don't like to lose elections, we work harder to raise money, and we do a better job in office after we are elected. Your mayor has proven that. This extraordinary determination and fighting spirit and better performance, all in our party, make sure that our party is the first choice of Americans. By earning the loyalty and the support of the American people, we have been the majority party for the last 50 years, and my determination is to keep it that way. Mayor Richard Daley understood the basis for party strength. He was proud of the people of Chicago. He dedicated his life, as you know, to serving you. He earned the loyalty of the people of this city no matter what your party preference might be. In doing that, he made Chicago synonymous with economic progress and with workable government. What I admired most of all, and what kept him in office so long, was that his government, your government, was one with a human side. He understood that politics is a two-way street, that loyalty comes to an office holder only if we give good government to the people who vote and bring into the political system working people, immigrants, minorities, the old, the needy. Then they know they're better off to be inside the political system rather than outside as an alienated and lonely American citizen. So when we honor Jane Byrne tonight, we also honor the traditions of Chicago and the people who helped to make her become your mayor. I might add, with an unbelievable 82% of the vote. And we also honor the people who have made Chicago one of the great success stories in the entire world. From the time Chicago was founded, people came here in search of better lives. They came here to work and to build together. That's what still distinguishes Chicago today. You are a city of builders, builders of new industries and great enterprises, and the most superb architects on earth. There is no better symbol of this than the Chicago skyline. Nothing like it in the world. This afternoon, I and Rosalind and Jane Byrne, George Dunn and others flew down the lake shore and looked at the skyline from a helicopter. It was a thrilling sight, and I get a thrill as president and as American every time I see it. And there's another side to Chicago that I also admire, which I mentioned earlier. It's human dimension. This is a city of families. This is a city of neighborhoods where churches and community life and traditions are important. When His Holiness Pope John II came here, he did not visit just the great cathedrals. He went to the neighborhoods, and he went to their churches. He went to the South Side, to Marquette Park, to Pilsen, to the Five Holy Martyrs Church, and the Visitation Church. He was in the different communities of this city, where unique heritages and customs stay strong and vital. Sustaining that neighborhood life has been a chief goal of Mayor Jane Byrne. She's fighting for the well-being of neighborhoods in Chicago. And I can assure you that she's fighting for Chicago in Washington as well, and she is winning her fight in both places, here and in Washington. With a good partnership between your mayor and your president, Chicago is leading the country in urban development action grants above any other city in the nation. We expect this money to stimulate $300 million in private investments, creating 5,000 new and permanent jobs in Chicago. In addition, we've approved block grants for Chicago of $127 million for this 1 year. We've just reached an agreement with Mayor Byrne, who is a tough negotiator, that will preserve over 1,300 federally funded city government jobs. My urban policy means making government work better together, federal, state, and local. In Chicago, we have had an opportunity to ensure that a major national and international travel system is not stifled in its necessary development and expansion. I'm very pleased to report to you tonight that after 10 years of waiting and after several months of work with Mayor Byrne, we have finally reached an agreement in principle to relocate some defense facilities at O'Hare Airport, which will permit the much-needed expansion and modernization of your international air terminal. This is good news for Chicago, and it's good news for the millions of people who fly in and out of O'Hare Air Terminal. And it's good news to me, because it represents precisely that kind of creative federal-local cooperation that's so important to our mutual success and lets our nation realize its great strength. I don't want to recite a long list tonight. I just want to emphasize to you at this special evening banquet that Jane Byrne is working hard for this city in the same tradition as her great predecessors. And I can also say that if we had more congressional delegations like Chicago's, we would be moving even more vigorously to rebuild all our cities and also to rebuild our national economy even more rapidly. I've worked closely with Senator Adlai Stevenson, with Danny Rostenkowski, with Frank Annunzio, and all the rest of the Chicago delegation. When I say that Chicagoans are builders, I mean that you also send that same building spirit to Washington. When I took office as president and the times called for rebuilding a stagnant economy, I called on the Democratic Congress and Chicagoans in that Congress to get the job done. We've done that job together, and we can be proud of it. We've increased our commitments to democratic programs, Social Security, housing, education, and health. Corporate profits are up 50%. Farm exports have broken world records in 1977, 1978, and again in 1979. Taxes have been cut. In 1980, you will realize tax savings of over $40 billion. We've had good luck in getting away unnecessary regulations. We have cut 1,000 OSHA regulations off the books. Paperwork is down 15%. And the budget deficit has been slashed 60% by $36 billion. Those things are important. They're kind of a measure of what we have tried to do in this country and what we've accomplished. In 30 months, we've created 8.5 million new jobs in America. 250,000 of those jobs right here in Chicago. We brought the national unemployment rate down by 25%. And in Chicago, because of your extra good leadership, unemployment has been cut almost 30%. Throughout the country, we've created 1 million new jobs for black workers, over 1,000 of those jobs for black citizens here in Chicago. We've created 700,000 jobs for teenagers in America, 17,000 of those jobs here in Chicago. We created over 1 million jobs for construction workers, 30,000 of those jobs here in Chicago. The country has never had before so many new jobs in such a short time, and we are still hard at work. Americans in 1976 also wanted to rebuild our cities, our older cities. I knew that with the right policies, older cities could be rebuilt. A new spirit could be engendered. Past defects could be corrected. Our urban dwellers could be given a better life. With your help, we launched the nation's first comprehensive urban program. We changed old and existing federal programs so that for the first time, they really began to give better services to our people. Now downtown and inner city communities are reviving all over the nation. As in Chicago, the building spirit has revived, and people are putting hard work and new life back into our cities. There's plenty to be done. It will not be easy, but we are off to a good start, and I pledge to keep this progress going. Our cities in America must be rebuilt. If you'll help me, we will succeed with that job. And we are now devoting that same American spirit, individualism, innovation, dedication to our energy problem, to free us from dangerous overdependence on imported oil. We now import more than half the oil we use from foreign countries. Next year, we will spend $70 billion on foreign oil. We're importing oil. We're exporting jobs. We're importing inflation. We've begun to act after too long a delay. We've already cut imports by 2.5 million barrels per day by 1985. But we know that this will not be enough. We must do better. I've now sent to Congress in July a program to conserve more energy and to produce more American energy. I proposed a windfall profits tax on the unearned income of the oil companies of this country to help poor families pay high energy bills, to build a better transportation system, and to produce synthetic fuels, solar power, and other energy in our own country. It will amount to the most ambitious peacetime undertaking in our history, on the same massive scale as we saw when we built the interstate highway system throughout the United States. It's the kind of program Chicagoans like. It builds on American strengths. It harnesses American ingenuity. It provides American jobs. We can cut our oil imports by one half by 1990. We can reassert American leadership. We can achieve energy security. All it takes is a spirit of common enterprise and determination, and that's what we've got. Energy price increases are now the main force driving inflation. Oil price increases have caused 4% of our own inflation rate. Without energy, the inflation rate this summer, would be no higher than it was in 1978 or 1977. Clearly, no economic problem today is more important than the 10 years of high inflation, and I intend, with your help, to bring it under control. We took a big step forward just a few weeks ago by forging a historic national accord. It's a broad agreement with labor on economic and domestic policy with direct participation on wage and price stability. For the first time ever, we've made full partners of those who suffer most from inflation, the working men and women of America. The National Accord acknowledges that we all have to tighten our belts. We've recognized inflation as the number one threat economically to our country. The National Accord acknowledges that we can succeed. We can and we will do it fairly. We can and we will protect jobs. We can and we will protect the poor and the disadvantaged. That's what the National Accord is all about. It's not just to make life comfortable for the few. It is to bring economic justice and security to all Americans. There's nothing easy about this inflation fight. For you or for me. In fact, I'm the fourth consecutive president to confront this same problem. Presidents before me have tried mandatory controls, and they've also tried the deepest recession since the 1930s. Neither worked. I believe they didn't work because we've never before had a comprehensive energy policy, and we've never before had a national accord where the tackling of the inflation problem would be a joint effort among government, business, and labor. The national accord gives us all an historic opportunity to bring inflation down without massive unemployment and suffering. It's a program that can appeal to our finest instincts and can bring about the best in Americans. We face other challenges and opportunities. As president, my first and my foremost responsibility is to keep America strong and to maintain peace for our people. We are also helping to bring peace to our friends in the Middle East who've been enemies for centuries and at war almost continually for the last 30 years. We are determined to control nuclear weapons. The Senate must ratify the SALT II Treaty. And as Americans, we will always hold high the banner of basic human rights throughout the world. We are indeed maintaining America's leadership among all nations on earth. This is not an easy role, but we will not fail. Let me add this about inflation and jobs and world peace and our other challenges. When I became president, I decided to confront the fundamental problems of our country. I decided to do it forcefully and directly. No matter what the political impact might be, no matter what the public opinion polls might be, whatever the future may hold, I want the personal satisfaction to know that we did not duck problems, that we did not settle for half-hearted approaches, that we always put the interest of this country first. We owe that debt to the Democratic Party. We owe that debt to the people of this country. And I owe that debt to myself. As a Democrat and as president, I'm not afraid. In fact, I look forward to tough political fights. And with your help, we will not lose those fights ahead. This has been the approach of the Democratic Party, and this has been the approach of our country to major challenges in the past. Whenever our nation has been in danger, whenever we have seen our nation being tested, Americans have put aside differences, have put aside trepidation and fear, have reached our hands out to one another, have joined in together, and have approached the future with determination and with confidence. That must always be our commitment, as it must be in times like these. The energy crisis, the inflation crisis, is not as easy to see as the First World War, or the Second World War, or the Great Depression. But at the same time, our nation's security is in danger. At times, serving as president can be a lonely job. But a president, particularly a Democratic president, does not stay lonely on a trip to Chicago, especially when you're with Jane Byrne and 12,000 friends of hers and great leaders on your own. I'll still be with you when I'm back in Washington. I'll still be working with Mayor Byrne, with George Dunn, with Frank Annunzio, Danny Rostenkowski, and all the other good Democrats and Republicans who are here representing Chicago. We'll be working together to tap that great reservoir of strength in America, the same spirit that's brought us together in time of war and depression that can reunite us again to meet any challenge and to prevail. When Pope John Paul spoke to 1.5 million Chicagoans in Grant Park, he saw in you a picture of America, a nation formed of many people, each with a different history, but together creating something new each day. I share that beautiful vision of Chicago and of America, and our common prayer will be that we will return to the basic and unchanging values that have made this country great. I pledge to you as president to lead this nation, all of our people, to realize that vision, so that our most fervent prayers for each other and for our great country will be answered as God has answered them in the past. Thank you very much. God bless all of you.